With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast at Home Edition. I am Amanda Nduka.
And my name is Dino Ray Animal Crossing Ramos.
So guys, today on our podcast, we have the wonderful gem, Tika Sumter. And
yes.
I'm so excited to get to talk to her. I've been a fan of her since the game. We mentioned that. But she had such great energy and she had such great things to say. I was really, really good. I was really happy with this one.
Yeah. And also we recorded this right before we recorded this, we found out that Mixed Dish was renewed. So
right, and
it was a very celebratory podcast. And
right, yeah.
She was in good spirit. And she looked like really good. Like she like dog. And I'm here in a beanie looking all
greasy. I'm here in a t-shirt. Like I'm kind of like, I feel a little bit sweaty right now.
Like, wait, is it hot in Texas right now?
So it actually looks like it's supposed to be thunderstorming. So I think it's supposed to go like this weekend is not going to be, it's not going to be a good weekend. Apparently.
Okay. Well,
but, okay because nobody's
you're indoors anyway.
But yeah, no,
but
her show Mixed Dish is on ABC currently. You can watch it on Hulu. They got renewed for a second season. We just got the news today. We were all celebrating together, which was fun.
Yeah. And then also, you know, also I think a lot of people haven't watched Southside with you. And you know, that movie, there's just something so charming and
I loved it.
It is like one of those movies where it's just one date. It's like the whole movie is a date. And I love that movie so much. And she played Michelle Obama. Imagine that.
She was just in Sonic too, the Hedgehog movie.
Yes!
The Hedgehog movie.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
But she just was in that. She's great, you guys. We love talking to her and we can't wait to see what else she has in store. Yeah. So without further ado, here is Tika.
Tika,
hi.
Thank you for joining us on the New Hollywood Podcast.
Thank you.
This is coming out in a couple of weeks, but we just want to congratulate you because we just heard, like literally right before we signed on, we heard the news that Mixed Dish was renewed.
Yay!
Congratulations! Yay!
Is this the first time you're hearing this news or did you know this already?
I knew about an hour ago.
Okay,
so we just found out about it.
No, but it's still exciting, you know?
Yeah. No, so what have you been up to during this quarantine? Like, well, how has it been for you?
It's crazy because I feel, it's crazy because at first I'm like, oh, great, we get 2 weeks to like do nothing. And then it just kind of kept going. But I've been busier than ever, which is nuts. I guess, everybody's home and the developing has actually happened. And the writers are like handing in scripts. I launched a lifestyle brand with my partner, Ty Randolph, called Sugarberry. Thank you. And
it's called Sugarberry, right?
So I've been kind of, it's called Sugarberry and we have a podcast called The Sugar.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I won't say where, but my street is called Sugarberry. I thought that was so.
Oh my God. I love that.
That's where I grew up. I live in LA now, but my home is Texas.
Oh my gosh, Sugarberry.
Yeah.
That is so precious.
She lives on Sugarberry Lane.
That sounds like something like you would read in like it's like a candy land.
Kind of. Yes. Yes.
Remember how people used to be like, what would be your porn name? Mine would be
Amanda Sugarberry. We're not a porn hub, but.
Yeah. Amanda, no, that actually is good. Amanda,
yeah, it is. It actually is good.
Also, you know, that is a good one.
But Tika, so what are you? So you have a daughter at home. Are you homeschooling right now?
Yeah, we're trying. You know,
I love homeschooling stories. Everyone has the same reaction.
Yeah, Nick, like my fiance Nick, he's really been taking over that lane. I am not the best teacher. I'm more of like experiential teacher. You know what I mean? Like, let's go outside and play kickball, or like, let's do an experiment at home, you know, make a volcano situation. Like, I like doing stuff, but like the teaching aspect, I'm like, ooh. So Nick has really been taking over, and literally last night he goes, I am a terrible teacher. So, you know, cause my daughter's like, I'm sorry I couldn't draw the A right. She said that to him, the letter A. He's like, oh my God. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's been going.
Well, yeah, I mean, that though, the whole thing about, you know, everyone homeschooling, it kind of is like, oh wow, teachers are really, really have it, you know, tough.
Yes, they're very necessary, and, you know, bravo to all teachers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know, I look at my little cousin's work, and I'm like, I don't remember.
I'm like,
at one point, but I don't remember anything.
I feel like when she gets to third or fourth grade, I'm like, girl, we got to get a tutor. I don't know.
And it's also interesting because like my nephews, like they're my sister's homeschooling them right now. One goes to a private school and one goes to a public school, and she sees the difference she's like my older nephew, it seems, because they have less people in their class, so they could teach them more. There's more one-on-one time, where my other nephew, it's a little bit, I don't want to say it's worse, but it's not as intense.
Yeah, I grew up in public school, and I don't know anything.
Oh, I went to public school too.
I just remember my math class, and my math teacher asked me to go to the board, and I was trying to do a math problem, and I just remember her rolling her eyes at me like, go sit down. And I was like,
roll your, that is not a way to.
I know.
Also, it hurt my soul. I hated being called on in class. I hated going to the board when they said,
All of it. Then imagine all that with somebody rolling their eyes at you. Yeah. Like, girl, you ain't got it. Bye.
So Tika, I remember when I first was introduced to you was the game. Was not the BET game, the
different game.
The pregame. Yeah, no, not the postgame, but the first game. And I remember just being so excited about seeing another Black woman on television. It was I mean, it's not to say that you were the first, but it was just so refreshing, because obviously at that time there wasn't that many to choose from. So as you were sort of rising in your career, who were the people that you looked up to when you were first getting started? And also, who inspired you to actually get in the business?
I have a very weird story. You know, I was born in Queens, and so I was raised there until I was 10 years old. And so we would like go outside a lot. So literally till the streetlights came on and my mom be like, Tika, screaming down the block. But also, we also watched a lot. Like, I grew up on TV. Like, watching TV was something for me. And I just remember being a little girl sitting in front of the TV watching Felicia Rashad on The Cosby Show. And watching Rudy, like, all, and I'm just like, and then watching A Different World and all these shows, and I kept thinking, I want to be in that box in my mind. And but I didn't understand, not one person in my family ever did Hollywood, what is that? Because that ain't real up in here. So I just remember it being planted, just my imagination, just like, it was just like I was transported to other worlds, and I wanted to do it. Didn't know the name for it. So that's kind of what inspired it. I always say, I just remember The Cosby Show and cartoons and just all those good things. And then when I went to, I moved to Long Island when I was 10 years old, and I kind of pushed myself from there. I mean, I would watch TV. I'm trying to think, what did I watch? Like I said, A Different World, like all those girls, you know, Sister, yes, you know, Brandy yes. Show.
Moesha, that was
Moesha. And to the, oh, to the.
Like, I wanted to be all of them. And then yeah. also, like, watching movies like Waiting to Exhale. I was so yeah. young, but I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah. So it's all these really beautiful women I saw on TV constantly that I just wanted to be in their world. And so I just started going to classes from Long Island to New York on the weekends. I used to work at a movie theater in junior high to high school, United Artists Movie Theater. It's now shut down in Long Island. And I was a concession girl. And then I would use that money, go on the LIRR to New York, take classes.
Wow.
From the ground up, I had no idea how to get, I literally had to get a book from Barnes and Nobles to tell me what to do.
Wow.
So it was, it was kind of like the how to start and then figuring it out by yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, were there certain people or certain, I guess, actresses out there that you sort of modeled your aspirational career after?
Who was out? I think it was more like, So it was like, I remember seeing Angela Bassett in What's Love Got to Do with It, like.
Iconic. Robbed of the Oscar.
Boy, I was like, who, what the hell, you know? And so she was an inspiration, but then I would see, like, there weren't many Black girls at that time. Like, I remember seeing Zoe Saldana starting to come up and, like, really being the girl, you know what I mean? And I'm like, but I never, she was the Black girl or Gabrielle Union, in all the kind of like, she's got to have it. I mean, she's got to have it. Like, she's all bad. And like,
I saw that the other day.
Right. But like, right. So, but there was only like one, it felt like they only let in one at a time.
Yeah. No, definitely.
You know, so it was kind of that.
Yeah,
like, I feel like all those movies, all those people were kind of inspirational to say, well, maybe I can do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your first role was it on Days of Our Lives?
One Life to Live.
I'm sorry. Yep.
It's okay.
Of Our Lives. But from landing that job until now, do you recall the moment where you felt like, okay, I can sort of take control of my career and do the things that I want to do, the things that really speak to what's important to me?
No.
Okay. When,
no. No. I was like, I got a job. Oh my God. Do I get to keep the job? Yeah, I get to keep it for 4 years. That was the first job I ever had where I didn't have to waitress any. Didn't have to do like a side hustle. And that was my first contract role. So that was a big deal. And here's the thing, you know, it's a mixed bag because we're in a different time right now. But like this is true for when you get your first job, you're just happy to really be there. So you don't want to rock any boats and you don't even have the understanding, especially during that time of, you know, now there's all these people creating their own shows and like doing their own thing, but you don't even have the understanding that you have that power, right? Mm-hmm. Because the power for so long has been held by a group and they are the ones to say, you come in, you get this job. So you're just like, you're happy to be there, to be honest. Right. And that's why nobody speaks up about their hair, their makeup, all these things that we're now talking about. Right. Nobody would have said, like, even if you're like, I remember being like, this part looks like it's from Africa and this part looks like it's from Europe. Like, can we blend it? You know, and they're like, what? You know, and I actually saw a clip the other day of my role on When Life to Live. And I was like, oh, I looked a hot mess. And I was so green.
Oh my God.
I kept going, like, touching my head. Like, I'm like, yeah. Why am I touching my head? I didn't know what to do with my hands.
You can always tell, yeah. Like, if the hairstylist is a Black person. A Black woman. Because I'd be looking at the, and I'm like, this couldn't have been done by a Black person.
Ma'am.
No, but it's like, okay. It is so true what you say about, like, especially from marginalized communities, is, like, when we get our first job in something that's hard to break into, we keep our head down and not say, well, I think of a certain generation, I guess.
Yeah.
Of a certain generation, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but
even
now,
in acting, you're yeah, so vulnerable. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're constantly
especially
reminded
in acting,
that you can be
yeah.
replaced.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. I hope that whole mentality of like, oh, you should just be happy to be here. I mean, it's still really relevant and really front and center, but I see it being pushed away a little bit, a little bit.
Like, yeah. No, there's definitely a difference that's happening. And it's because when you're in a place of power, so now I have some sort of power to say, nope, these are the people we need to hire. And this is, that's what it is. And just making sure for me, I'm always like, is everybody cared for? Does everybody feel good about the way they look? Like everything. Cause it all matters. Matters, you know, and it's not being difficult because we hear that word. That's a buzzword. Oh, she's yeah. difficult because she didn't just go with the flow. Basically, you're
yeah,
saying
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I have a voice, right? So it's when I'm able to empower other people to just speak their piece. And that's what I yes. do. And, you know, people, even on my set who are newer and they're like, should I? I'm like, go and talk, speak. It's mm-hmm. okay. You know, and not everybody's going to always, you know, egos are involved and all that good stuff, but I think everybody just has to be in it for the greater good of the cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, like speaking of Mixed-ish, wonderful, like good
Thank
segue,
you.
you know, when you kind of, when the project first crossed your desk, you know, what was your reaction to it? And like, what was it that appealed to you about, you know, about jumping into this established world, you know, that Kenya has created, and like, you know, hopefully, you know, what you could bring to it, how you could elevate it, how you could continue kind of its power, you know, its influence and impact.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was intrigued. You know, we know the impact that Black-ish and Grown-ish has had, and I was intrigued, but I was also a little like confused at first because, you know, my agent called me and she's like, you don't look like the mom who played yeah. the mom now. And I'm like,
a lot of people were bringing that up. I remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't. So then Kenya called me. He's like, I wanted to try to get to you before your agent got to you. I'm like, she got to me. and he's like, I don't care about that. He's like, I really think it's important to portray somebody who looks different than the kids. Like, what is your experience as a dark skinned Black mom? Right. So with that, it's like they decided to change the casting, and they also said I was just the best one for the job. Mm-hmm. I was a little afraid because one, going in, like I had to do a test reading with the original guy before Mark Paul.
Okay.
And, you know, this was my first kind of comedy situation, like in saying long-term series. And it was nerve wracking because everybody's sitting there, including Tracee Ellis Ross, like looking at you like, make us laugh. You know what I mean? So, and I did, and it was fun and it was great, but they definitely wanted to bring a different aspect to the character, which I think it serves it well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause I think there's two ends of the spectrum. It's like, listen, everybody's white and light, super light,
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
And that's one story, but like, where is the dynamic of like the view from this dark skinned all Black girl?
Yeah.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Like, what is that? How does that play out? Yeah. And so I was excited that they decided to do that. And I was just like, cool, let's go with it. I mean, and especially nowadays, I feel like it happens all the time. I mean, we're about to see a Black Ariel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. It's like, you know, some people were like, oh, I hate change. But I'm not, yeah. then I'm like, well, then are you yelling at the white people who are saying they hate change in Ariel? You know
right.
what I mean? Because yeah. I'm excited. You know what right. I mean? I'm excited to see something else.
Yeah. yeah. No, exactly. it's so funny because like when I just remember like people getting so angry that Ariel is a cartoon. Like, why is it having to be a race thing? But it's like
the fish.
Hollywood has a long standing reputation for putting in white characters into black roles, into Asian roles. We've seen that even recently. So the fact that people are so up in arms about it, but like when it comes to putting a black person in a role that was played by a lighter skin or a cartoon that was supposed to be white, like it just
baffles. It is funny. Like, Hollywood has this history of whitewashing, like. And it's this normalcy that has continued throughout Hollywood. So when that changes, the status quo is like,
Well, whoever was mad about Aunt Viv, it's like, well,
oh my God,
you kind of got your Aunt Viv back.
Oh my God, yes. I love that.
The crazy part is she played my mom, Janet Hubert played my mom on One Life to Live.
Full circle.
So it's like, you know, whoever's best for the job, great. And it's crazy because I come from New York where on Broadway, they would do colorblind casting all the time.
Yes.
I remember seeing Felicia Rashad in Osage, Orange County. August County.
Yeah,
she played the mom to all these white kids.
Oh God, that's amazing.
Didn't
Ben Vereen once play the Phantom on Phantom? I think he did.
So I just come from a world where it's like, dude, she killed the role. I didn't care that she was black and everybody else was white. It didn't even matter. So, so that's that.
Well, I think, and also, you know, Mixed-ish, you know, when I first heard about the project, I was like, oh, this is going to cause conversation because I have a lot of mixed faith, mixed race friends, and I hear their experience, and it's so interesting to see that because it's something like I will never kind of encounter. Yeah. And there are narratives that are seldom told. Why do you think that is? And why do you think that telling these mixed race narratives are important?
Well, I mean, I think it simply hasn't been told because, again, the people who can green light things are just, you know, they say no. You know, sure, there have been a ton of scripts and things where, you know, these stories are happening, but Kenya actually is in a place of power and success where him and Peter Saji, who created the show, said, hey, let's do a spinoff on like what life was like before Bo became Bo, right? Mm-hmm. And I think their story is very complicated. You know, you have these two worlds coming together. And what does that mean for a child who is two things, right? Who it's a split. And I have a mixed child, you know, and her world is going to be different than mine in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of things I'll be able to understand, but some things I won't. And so it's like juggling that and their stories are valid. You know what I mean? Their stories are very valid. And I'm glad that it's finally being told through the lens of somebody who actually who was raised by a family that was black and white, which is Peter Saji, he's the creator. So I think, you know, it just depends who has the power.
Tracy was raised by her dad was white, correct? Or my
whose dad?
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes.
Okay.
Tracy, yes.
And also I do love how I remember at TCA when the first, you know, the first panel was there, and a lot of people don't know that Mark Paul is half Asian.
Mixed.
Or not half. He has, I don't know.
His mom's Asian.
He's half, right? Indonesian, yeah. I believe. Yes. Right?
Oh wow.
Yeah. Indonesian.
Yeah. The Asian community knew, or some of them didn't know. They were gagged. The girls were gagged when they were like, oh, ooh, Mark Paul is half Asian. They're like, oh, really?
Yes. So he's playing a white man. White outrage.
You know, one thing I really like, whenever Mixes was first announced and there was a bit of like controversy about it, one thing that really stuck to my mind was, I feel like in Hollywood we sort of treat black people as a monolith. So it's like if you're black, you like we all just assume that everybody's experience is the same. Like you know, we all come from low income or some, you know, boys in the hood type place. We all grew up with no fathers. Like it's so what I thought was refreshing about Mixes was that it was still telling black narrative. But it was giving us a different perspective, something that we really haven't, I mean, we know about this, we talk about it amongst ourselves all the time, but does white America, middle America really know like what the difference between a mixed person or a mixed-ish person and like, do they know that their experiences are different? Probably not. So no. That's why it was so refreshing to see that, because like I said, African, our experiences are different than people that grew up in you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. But for you, how do you sort of navigate the comedy of the show with commentary on cultural identity?
How do I navigate it?
How do you approach that?
Well, I mean, the writing is there. And if something is, you know, doesn't work with real life, of like, all I can speak is from the place of a Black girl, right? That's all I know. I don't know. Mixed, I'm not mixed. Yeah. You know, obviously there's ancestry, obviously, but I'm Black.
Yeah.
So for me, what I can speak to is the identity of a Black woman and what she would and would not do, and what she would do with her kids, what she would do with her job, mm-hmm. for me. And again, like you said, it's like the narrative that has been put out there, even about Black motherhood, that's literally what my Sugarberry lifestyle brand is about, and the sugar. It's like mm-hmm. the narrative is this one note. And so mm-hmm. for me, even when they're writing certain things and the way I speak or the way I react to, whether it's, you know, something about civil rights or the cops or my children or being scared for my kids, I identify culturally with my experience, right? And what my mother has experienced and what my sisters have experienced, right? And that's all I can come into it with, my own experience. So that's kind of how I navigate it. And you know, they really value my opinion. I'm so grateful for that, because if I'm like, guys, wouldn't talk like that, wouldn't say that, wouldn't, they get it from a place of like, just trying to hear my own voice, but really trying to make the best out of the work.
Right.
Yes.
Because I want to ask you something. Like, as I mentioned before, like there are not a lot of Black women on TV, dark skinned women on TV. Did you ever feel a pressure to sort of be that authentic representation of the Black experience, of the Black female experience in your career? Because a lot of people would probably look up to you, or maybe even critique you if, you know, something doesn't match up. Have you ever felt that type of pressure?
Pressure is a weird thing, right? Uh-huh. So I think pressure's in phases, right? So in the beginning of your career, you're like, dude, I just want to work, man. Yeah. Just like, give me a job, right? Then it goes to, wait, I want more. And like, I'm able to navigate what I want and I have choices. And you try to make all the best choices, but at each period of your life, you're just in a different phase, right? Yeah. And for me, you can go in thinking it's this one thing, and then it turns out to be something totally different than what you expected, what you were told it was going to be, everything, right? And you're just like, okay, I'm in it. I got to do it. But I think there is this pressure of feeling like, oh my God, I want to expand narratives. I want to be, I guess, like what Hattie McDaniel said, I want my race to be proud of me, you know? Yeah. But that's also a lot of weight on somebody's back all the time. Like white people, just to be anything they want to be. They want to be a prostitute, they be a prostitute. They want to be a mother, they be a mother. They want to be in a horror film and kill somebody, they kill somebody.
Right.
And they don't have that, right? But we always have to kind of carry this weight. It's not weight in a bad way. It's just like, we know that we don't get that many chances. Like we don't fail up most of the time, you know what I mean? And so we know that it's really important that the choices we make have to be very clear. And that, I think that puts a little bit of weight on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's such a good point. It's like, you know, especially with actors, you know, even like maybe even with filmmakers, you know, we have to be more, or you know, people of color, or LGBTQ community, or anyone of the marginalized community have to be more mindful about the choices they make. Because let's say, you know, especially with, you know, like let's say like a South Asian, like they get a role as a terrorist, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then, but they like the role because it's in depth, but then at the same time, that role is perpetuating the stereotype that right. has been perpetuated for years and decades.
Yeah.
And
I know.
It's so weird.
It's a double-edged sword. And so I always wonder how people sort of balance everything. Because, I mean, I'm not in the public eye, but I just can't imagine having to, like, be in the public eye and everything that you know, especially now that we're talking about representation and diversity. I feel like a lot of people are heavily critiquing marginalized works that coming from marginalized communities. So...
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I do understand, like, it's a journey. It's like, I do understand, like, critics have to critique, right? That's what they do. And including Black critics have to critique Black stuff and they don't right. like everything.
Yeah.
But we also, it's like, we didn't have like a 200 year head start either. You know what I mean? Like we're just now getting into the good stuff. You know, so
we're barely getting into it. You know, we're like touching it, but we're just like, oh wait,
it's like we're coming, but you know,
we're coming, we're scaling the walls.
We're a little skittish, but we're still there.
yeah.
No, but that's so true. It's so true. You know, with Mixed Dish, you know, we've already kind of talked about how people have responded to the show with the first season, but what have the responses been personally to you? Like, have people reached out to you? And also, what have you taken away from doing the first season?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I get all different types of like positive, amazing reactions from everybody, you know, from Black people. They're like, oh my God, I can watch this show with my family, you know? And then I get it from white people. Like, they're like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Like, you know, like the cops, whatever it is, you know? Or they're like, you're so beautiful on like TV.
You're like, oh, okay, dial it back.
I used to hate that because I was like, you're acting, you sound surprised.
Oh my God, you're so beautiful. I didn't know.
No, or it's like, you're so beautiful in person. Like, that is not a compliment, guys. If you're listening to
the whole thing, it's almost as bad as saying, oh, you look tired.
Or when they say you're so beautiful for a brown skin girl.
I haven't heard that one for a while. Thank God.
College, but it's still like, I feel like I have
PTSD. Why? Hot is hot. Fine is fine.
Exactly. Fine is fine. Yeah. I've been getting some great positive, like, you know, support and just super grateful for that aspect of it. What was your second question?
What have you taken personally from the show and what have you learned?
That I would not let these bad kids talk to me the way they're talking to me on the show.
Those kids.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
They're fun.
But they're a hot mess. I think I take a lot, you know. Nick and I are, like I said, raising a child who has two different parents from two very different backgrounds. So I feel like sometimes from scripts, I'll be like, I'm going to use this, you know, like even Nick watched something and he was like, the Black community was mad he said, what was it about? It was something that they were explaining. He was like, y'all were mad at each other for that? And I was like, yeah. Or y'all were mad at us? Like something. So I feel like we learn through the show a lot. And there's a lot of takeaways that we can take away as parents. And just like real, what I do love about Paul and Alicia is they listen to their kids and they're giving them an emotional IQ to take out into the world, which I think is so important in order to change what's happening nowadays. I feel like we have to listen to our kids and talk to them and talk through things. It's no longer that like, do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. You don't, you're a child, you know, that whole like be seen and not heard kind of thing. But like, I really love that they give them the words to express themselves, you know? So I take that away from it.
It starts with the kids, you know? I feel like if we do want to see like meaningful changes happening in our society, we need to start with what we embed in our kids.
They are our future, as Whitney says.
Yes, Whitney.
What is next for you after this whole quarantine is done, hopefully soon? What do you have coming up next?
So I'm excited. I feel like, well, Mixed Dishes coming up next. We're going to go back.
Hopefully. Yay, season two.
Yes, season two.
Yes. Oh, really shout out to Andrew T. Andrew T is a friend of mine.
I love him. He's such a great writer. He's written he actually wrote the finale with two other writers.
Oh, dope.
He had a few scripts by himself. So he's so great. So thoughtful. Oh, nice. So funny. Yeah, shout out to all the writers and all of you guys. So that, and then continuing my podcast, The Sugar, continuing pushing the www.sugarberry.com. Ooh. And then also I have like five scripts. I literally sent a pilot out to WME today about my mom's life, and amazing. And then I have like three original things. That one, I'm working with K.O. Yagan, who's a writer, she's writing so many amazing things.
I just met her through a friend. Well, we connected on social. Yeah.
She's amazing. And then my friend Kimmy Yondo, we collaborated on a script, and I'm just working with all these people who are fantastic women of color, Black women. Yes. And I'm excited to like put more out into the world from a space where my experience. So
yes, we're excited to
share those narratives.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we like to wrap up this discussion with something that we call the facts or the FAQs. Just a couple of fun questions to end things off. So the first question is, if you weren't an actress, what would you be doing?
Well, if I wasn't an actress, I would probably be, I always wanted to be an anesthesiologist, but I don't know if it's because I like the way it sounds.
But hey, they make bank too.
That was it.
And that's they never have cut or anything. I
think that's
a good job. Yeah.
They're like, go to sleep.
Yeah, there's a go to sleep. Up. Okay, I'm leaving. You don't even have to stay for the certain. No, I mean, you probably have to stay for like one of my friends.
Make sure they wake up okay.
Yeah, you gotta make sure they're okay. But like, I was like, that sounds like a good bomb job. you know, so I don't know.
You guys can't hear. My dog just opened the door and
that's fine. We'll just keep it candid and it's as fine. Natural and well, chill no, as okay, possible.
There's like 10 of us living in this house right now.
Oh, girl. It's fine.
So Tika, here's something for you.
Yeah.
Would you rather have whatever you are thinking appear above your head for everyone to see, or have absolutely everything you do live stream for anyone to see?
No, y'all don't want my thoughts out there like that. Y'all really don't. Because I'm already a strong, very strong speaker. Like, I'm like, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you the truth. You know what I mean? Like, that's me. Yeah. That's my style. Like, I'm just, you know, I just talk. I'm like, I'm very real, very upfront, very like, you see me, that's all you get. That's what you get. And so I would never want either of those live streams. I don't want any of it live stream. I would not have a job.
You plead the fifth on this answer. You plead the fifth.
If I had to choose,
okay,
I'd rather just live stream it and like get no responses back. I'm just going through my day.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, that one is a tough one. When I was thinking of some, I was just like, this one's a tough one. Let's see how she responds. Because I don't, like, see, when I see everything I do live stream, does that include me going to the restroom?
Yes. Or, everything I don't know. You said.
Yeah. Everything. Or it might be. And you know what? I'm going to go for it, and I would just do the, just see what I'm thinking.
Okay, so you played Michelle Obama.
I love that movie, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
What other iconic female figure would you like to tackle?
Oh, Anne Lowe, who was iconic. She was an iconic dressmaker. She made Jacqueline Kennedy's dress for her wedding. Yeah. She made the Rockefeller, like every high society. She was friends with Yves Saint Laurent. Yeah. She should have been Yves Saint Laurent, all that. But ahead of her time, and just her story is insane. Yeah. And Yeah, so I would love to play her.
I would see that. I would love that. I would love to see that. Because there's all these like voices, you know, that kind of have been eclipsed by bigger names. And,
oh yeah,
you know, yeah. And oh, yeah. I love no, that she kind used of to underdog. Work
on Fifth Avenue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she was high society. Like those women came flocked to her for dresses. Yeah. But the problem was nobody would really like. A woman won an Academy Award in her dress. A big actress. Yeah. But nobody ever said her name. When they were
that
asked
is so
who did
trash.
Your dress.
Yeah, I remember
it was a Negro woman. Yeah. So.
Oh God. Well, we're gonna make that happen. Yeah, we're gonna put that out into the universe.
Yeah.
We're gonna put that out into the universe. Okay, so Mixed Dish takes place in a very specific time period. It was pretty much like the 80s and kind of my formative years. So, and also the costuming on Mixed Dish is on point.
Oh my
so that
gosh.
Said, what Shout are some Sassy. Of your yeah, what are some of your favorite trends, fashion trends from the 80s?
Oh my gosh, the cuts and the tailoring on the suits like that I get to wear are bomb. And like a lot of these, basically all my stuff is vintage. So she's like, oh, here's this Chanel, you know, skirt suit, whatever. And it's bomb. And she's oh, I've got it for like $200, you know, she's like, I can't believe nobody picked this up. Or she like keeps naming all these huge designers and their cuts were so to the like body, you know what I mean? Even though they had these big shoulders and stuff, but like
the shoulder pads.
No, it's like that, it gives that hourglass figure, oh that very severe hourglass. Like exactly. Some, like working girl.
Yes. And I just think the clothes were just so well made, you know, I can really tell the difference and, you know, I mean, those are the fantastic things.
The 80s power suit.
Yes.
Power
suit. We wear a lot of those.
Okay. So if you had intro music to your life, what song would be playing and why?
I see those wheels turning.
Every time you wake up in the morning when you're about to start your day, what song is playing?
Or even before you enter a room,
yeah,
this music plays.
Oh God. Okay, so when I'm entering a room, that is because you know you need all the strength in the world to enter some of these rooms in Hollywood. So it's like it's Eminem's "You Only Get One Shot." Because opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself.
Good.
That's me.
Yes.
When I walk into those rooms, but when I wake up, I feel like got me looking so crazy right now.
Oh,
like anything. Beyonce. So anything Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
That is good.
Such great choices. Dang, I didn't think about this one, so I have none. But
I have none either.
That was
mine's just probably like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what mine would be. It'd be something really sad. Man, is there a song called Go Back to
Sad.
Sleep? That's
Oh, there's a lazy song by Bruno Mars.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's good. Fun.
That's a good Saturday song for me.
Yeah. This morning I woke up to Zion by Lauryn Hill.
Oh,
singing to my daughter.
That album is like is the best album ever. I want because it's so timeless.
Oh my gosh. You can listen to it right now and just be like, oh yeah, this is it.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, this was produced like last month. But it's so
that's why she won all those Grammys.
Yeah.
That she was like she's like a one and done. I'm done. Our final question is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, creator, or any storyteller that is not in the mainstream that you want to give shine to and you think deserves more credit?
Ooh. I think there are a bunch of black
multiple
critics.
Answers. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are multiple answers. There's a lot of black critics online who I think are fantastic. One, her name is Clarkeisha. She goes under by Clarkeisha. Her name is Alex. She's a critic. I don't know. I feel like there's so many black critics that could be like the new Roger and Ebert kind of thing, like a show, you know, and they give very, very thoughtful, you know, like NPR has this whole like a movie critic, film critic situation. And I feel like there should be more of those, right? Yeah. Cause they're so interesting to listen to. Yeah. Even if like, I literally have heard my stuff on there and I've been like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah, so yeah. I think more Black critics, some of the writers, like I said, like I always tell people are like, well, how do I break into da 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 da? And I'm like, just look around you. Like a lot of your friends who, if you're in this industry or whatever, or even online, like reaching out to, don't always look at the top of the hierarchy. Look below that, because yeah. all those people are coming. Like, yeah. look for yes. writers that you're just like, yo, you're constantly retweeting. You're constantly like, I'd love to work with her. Because a lot of the times when you just shoot your shot and reach out, like I've done, you know, and I'm actually writing with somebody now. Like,
yeah,
it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. And obviously I'm in a different situation, but like, I just feel like look at your surroundings and who's around you and reach out to yeah. those people and then rise up together.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's just so many writers that are coming up. And so I wish there was more, like I said, Black critics and yeah.
I think that's totally true about, you know, reaching out to your own community and kind of, it's kind of power in numbers situation. Yeah. It's like someone at the very top isn't gonna, 99% of the time, they're not gonna listen to you. But if you right. kind of use your resources
right,
and then look around you.
And look you know, around you. And I also yeah. think there's like a group of actresses who I'm so excited to see shine, like even further. Like, I feel like there's a bunch like Yaya DaCosta, Nicole Beharie.
Yes.
You know, I feel like there's just a lot. There's a bunch of us
yeah.
that's like right here. And like, I'm just excited to see what the next phase for everybody's going to be. But I'm just looking forward to all these girls just going and getting it.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, yes. I want to see Nicole. And I mean, I'm like, I've loved every performance that I've seen them in. I'm like, why aren't they, you know, but
it's, yeah, no, here's the yeah. thing. I think social media makes it seem like this game is like
yeah.
easy. It's really hard. Like yeah. if it was easy, everybody would do it, be in it.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. Yeah. It's not, guys.
No, and that's why when I'm like, oh, you know, even with me, people are like, oh, you should be, you know, even more. I'm like, I'm in a pretty good spot and I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm good. Like,
yeah,
I feel good. And I am. And it just feels mm-hmm. like, you know, sometimes when we say things like they should be this place, it's like, no, they're right where they're yeah. supposed to be. They're going to get there. This business is not easy.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. even though it and seemingly
on,
is.
Yeah. On all aspects.
All of us. All yeah. of us.
It's, and then, you know, I don't know what the pandemic's going to bring, but we're bracing ourselves.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's like, but I know my homely ass is hunkering down until the end of August because I'm right. like, I'm not going anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you. I totally hear you. For sure.
Oh my God. Tika, you are so great.
You are
Thank
amazing.
You
I love
so it. Much.
Thank you so much. Congrats again on season 2.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that.
And me and Amanda are probably, we're really happy to be kind of the first ones to celebrate
yeah.
with you.
Thank you. I feel honored.
I feel honored that you guys even knew. I was like, oh. Yeah.
it's our job. We have to know. Or else we get in trouble.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Mixed Dish, season 2 coming at
you.
You
watch it on Hulu right now, right?
Yes, you can watch it on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Yep. Tika's going to be in an Anne Lowe biopic, so look out for that.
Amen. From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Tika.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks,
this is so fun. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.